Hello, everyone, and welcome. Today, it is October 12th of 2019, and you are listening to Patient Players, episode number 10. Woo! Big 1-0, we made it!
Double digits! Baby.
Welcome. This is a podcast about what we call gaming in the slow lane. If this is your first time, welcome, welcome. Here is where we talk about the games we're playing. Though we're patient, we typically enjoy updates to our old favorite games that we've been playing, or we love finding good deals on some old classics we never got around to. We do that more often than we jump into the newest trends or the big games that come out every week. Now, at Patient Players, there is one more thing you have to know. Here, we do love. Now, specifically in this spoopiest of months, there's another trend we have here where we drown out the hauntings of spoopy month with funk and love. You're hearing the funk. I am the funk. Here's my co-host, Love.
It's me. It's Love, y'all. I love y'all, and I am Love, y'all.
We do love. Wait.
We do love. Also, I'm from Texas.
There's a conflict of terms here. We do love and you are love.
So you do me.
We do you.
Ah. I didn't consent to this.
I don't know where to go from there.
I don't either. But I really like how the joke about we do love stuck around 10 episodes.
You were the only one ever joking.
That was okay, well that's how it usually is. But that was man, 10 episodes. That's like 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Do you know how long 10 weeks is?
A long time.
Cuz I don't.
It's like 70 days.
Oh, yeah, it's easy math.
Wait, did you actually not know?
I didn't think about it, but then I thought about it and I was like, that was dumb.
It's approximately 20% of a year, which is crazy.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So we've been podcasting for a fifth of a year.
Yeah, basically. There's 52 weeks in a year, and in 10 of them, we've been podcasting.
Gosh dang, we're good.
We're so good.
I love it.
How's your week been?
It's been so great. Man, it's been such a great week.
Really?
Of video games.
Cool. What's been going on?
Of video games. Not so
oh,
much.
Oh, of video games?
Yeah, not so much like outside of video games. I've been working a lot. That's basically all I've been doing outside of video games is just working a lot.
Does the work make the video games sweeter?
No, actually, I have this weird effect where work makes the video games worse-er.
I've experienced it. It doesn't happen all the time, but I do know what you're talking about.
Right? Like, you work a long day, and then you get on video games, and I don't know, my brain is just like, you could still be working right now, but you're wasting time. It's like I feel worse about unwinding my video games when I've been working a lot.
It's like if your day is just nothing but goofing off, you kind of ignore it. But if your day
exactly.
is productive and then you stop being productive.
Yeah, you feel bad about it. You feel awful. So other than that, except last night, that didn't occur last night. I went straight from working to Borderlands because I was
nice.
Like, I need to unwind.
I know. I was texting you yesterday because if you were here from last podcast, we had a duty to fulfill. You remember there was a particular email we had to go investigate for the good of the people, and I was like,
"For the good of the void."
Hey, are we gonna do that thing? And I was like 1 p.m. and then you didn't respond. I was like,
"It
7
actually
p.m.
was. It was like 1:30 p.m."
I was like 7. I was like, "Hey, you want to do the thing?" And then you just never responded. And then I get on Discord at like 8 or 9, and you're on Borderlands. I was like, "Hey, do you ever want to do this thing?"
Yeah, it was fun. I reached max level in Borderlands. Woohoo!
You did it.
I did it. I beat the game. Actually, we beat the game.
We did beat the game. So it's been a long week. Jeez.
Yeah. I also forgot that happened this week.
Yeah. After we recorded last week, we played some more over last weekend, and we beat the game. No, wait. Hadn't we just beat it?
On Saturday?
I'm sorry. I'm mixing this up with Remnant, because I remember talking on the podcast about staying up super late trying to beat the game, but that was Remnant, wasn't it?
That was Remnant, but we also stayed up super late playing Borderlands.
Yeah, we did the exact same thing. So after the podcast...
Yeah, I think it was Saturday night, because I think we both had church in the morning.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah.
And we slept
to like
4
hours
or something.
Sleep. Not that bad. I think it was around 3 o'clock or so.
Oh, okay.
We stayed up real late trying to finish it, because it looked like it might be ending, and then they have a whole final act of the game, which was really fun and really cool.
they were like, say your goodbyes, this is the end. And then, you know, like an hour and a half later, you're like, why is it not the end?
But I, okay, with one exception, I enjoyed everything about that ending sequence. I think everything from the point we thought the game was going to end until it actually ended, I thought that whole span of game time was really good, with one major exception.
Okay, I don't know if you, are you wanting to say it?
I'm just going to say that I feel like we talked about it and you felt the same way about this, right? But the very end of the game has a couple things about it that are just off.
You know, I've been thinking over the past week, and I've come to a conclusion.
Okay.
The story in Borderlands 3 is just utter crap.
Really?
Yes.
Don't like it?
No. It left like a sour taste in my mouth. And the longer the week went on, I was like, wow, that was actually a horrible story.
Huh.
And I think it was when Sabrina asked. She's like, oh, you beat Borderlands. How was it? And I said, it was a very, very fun video game.
Uh-huh.
But not a good story.
Yeah. I think we talked a little bit about that last week, too, about how it's kind of predictable in a lot of ways. Though there
and
was...
The ending was just... It's like they could have gone so many really cool places with the characters and so many like twists, and they just did literally nothing. Just nothing. You just win, and then it's like, oh, you did it. Ba-da-bop.
Yeah, I think it seems like the kind of game where they went into it knowing they were making Borderlands 3 without really knowing what the world was supposed to look like after Borderlands 3 happened.
And also, I heard that the writer left halfway through the process of the last games.
That makes sense.
And someone else pointed online, maybe Telltale was going to make a second season of Tales from the Borderlands, the story mode.
Oh, and that might have filled in more gaps.
Yeah, and then maybe just when the company shut down, they had to rewrite a lot of stuff. There was a ton of stuff that like the game was alluding to with the story throughout the whole thing, and then at the end, it never did anything with those things.
Yeah.
The main villain doesn't even get, like, a last word.
Yeah.
Which I thought was weird. True.
I don't want to go into too much detail for people still playing it, because it's absolutely a very fun game. It's a great game.
It's very fun. Yeah, like I said, I got a max level character this week, and it was super fun.
So, and I think the way we were playing it, you were playing it much more than I was, but you wanted to maintain the same place in the story. So you were playing two characters, one with me, where we were kind of mainlining the story, and then a second character where you were doing all of the side content. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think, even though sometimes the jokes don't hit super well, generally speaking, it's got some humor that I liked, and the side quest is where that stuff came out way more than the mainline quest. And because the mainline quest seemed kind of scattered, by mainlining it and only doing the main quests for a big chunk of that game, I think I missed out on a lot of what I would have enjoyed. The stuff we did take the time to go do, like the few side quests we did, I honestly thought those were some of the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm interested to jump back in. I want to do some of that true Vault Hunter mode where you kind of like New Game Plus, and I want to add on some of the difficulty modifiers, because I also think that approaching each... It's two totally different ways to play the game. Approaching each battle as just, I'm going to run in and blindly kind of just murder everyone and have fun and hang out with my friend and turn my brain off and play Borderlands, versus, oh, I've got to tactically take out these guys and watch my flanks and take cover and snipe these guys. Two totally different games, but I'm excited to see what the game's like when it's more difficult. You have some experience with that, right? You've been playing it on the higher difficulty?
Yeah. It hasn't really been that hard, actually. In fact, it's been easier.
What? Even with like 500% health bonuses and things like that?
Uh-huh. Yep. What? So like bosses that I died to on my first playthrough, I'm not dying to this time around.
Is it because the better loot is offsetting the difficulty?
I think it's also just my build, my character build. It helps a lot. Which, according to the internet, I'm playing the hardest character. So maybe they were just referring to just the first playthrough when you didn't have all your skills unlocked.
I guess so.
I don't know, man.
Do you think they scale for multiple players as well? So the ones that we were dying on were just more difficult because we were both there?
I don't know. I've wondered about that. That makes total sense, but I can't say that's true.
Well, we could always do some testing. Or probably Google it. Someone's probably tested it.
Yeah.
So you've done a lot of Borderlands this week?
Yep, that's been fun. Yep. There's just so much. Like, my brain was like, where do I want to go next from this? Here's something that you'll like.
Okay.
Guess what came out yesterday on Nintendo Switch?
On Nintendo Switch. Probably like 40 different indie games.
That's right, baby. It's Killer Queen Black.
Ooh.
So like you're good at explaining things more than I am. So can you explain to the audience what Killer
Lord.
Queen...
That's a task. Oh, so Killer Queen, if you've not heard about it, up until now, it was just an arcade cabinet called Killer Queen. It was kind of rare. I got to play some with Jordan and a few other folks at PAX South, and I've heard other people talk about them popping up around the country. It's like, oh, there's a Killer Queen cabinet over here. And it is a 4v4 simultaneous cabinet. So it's this huge cabinet.
Oh, no. It's eight people?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Where am I going to find seven friends?
Oh. You just find three friends and then you play online.
Oh, I don't want to play online.
So it's... Well, okay, so I don't know about Black, but let me talk about original Killer Queen is 4v4, everyone's standing in this giant cabinet. There's two sides to it.
This is like I said, it's an arcade cabinet. So it's like a big old arcade cabinet for eight people to fit around it. It's a little scrunched, but it's enough for eight people to like squeeze in.
And you've got like Joy-Cons and like a jump button and an action button. I said Joy-Cons because of the Switch. You've got joysticks and an action button and a jump button. And there's one master panel right in the middle of the team, which is, I think it's 5v5, because I think there's one master panel and then four worker drones.
Jeez.
But you're a beehive, and so you...
You're a beehive.
Oh, thanks. One person on each side is the queen of that beehive, and they are battling against the other. And then all the other, eight players are playing worker drones for each hive on each side. And it is of picture a game kind of like Joust, where it's like 2D. You can fly around up and down, and you're trying to kill each other, and you have lives.
What's Joust?
Is that a serious question?
Yes.
Oh no!
Am I supposed to know what Joust is, or the audience?
A lot of people know Joust is. It's like it's a real old school like Atari game where you're on ostriches and you're jousting each other. And there's a lot of games that are kind of riff on Joust.
Okay.
A lot of stuff from it. It's classic. It's also classics. In the Ready Player One books. It's the first challenge he has to do. But that aside, so it's that kind of 2D style game, and you have three different ways to win the game.
Oh, you're right, by the way. It is 5v5.
Oh, jeez, that's crazy.
So, five people on each side of the arcade console.
Yeah, and there's a lot of coordination because there's three ways to win. And so you can win a military victory, which means that their queen dies, I think, five times. So there's five eggs that can hatch queens, and you kill her five times. And so you do that by one of the queens hitting the other queen from above, or a warrior hitting a queen from above. We'll kill them. So that's like the standard way to win. The other way to win would be a economic victory. So this is all of the drones are running around, and they're these like little resource nodes they can pluck and go put in their hive. And if they fill their hive with resource nodes over time, they'll just immediately win. So you've got to maintain the enemy's worker drones, the players who are playing them and grabbing these resources. You've got to fly around and kill them while you're battling the other queen. Now, while you're doing these two things, one of the worker drones can choose, instead of getting resources, they can run and eat like an upgrade berry and become a warrior. And so they can also fly and joust. They're not as good as the queen.
I want an upgrade berry in real life.
Yeah, it'd be nice to be
a warrior.
What
would that turn me into? Would it be a warrior?
Probably. Or you could get the speedy berry that makes you fast.
Oh.
So once you're upgraded, you can help fight the enemy queen, or you can take out the enemy's workers to stop their economic victory. So you've got to manage these two things. And all the while, there's like a third very minor thing underneath all of this where there's a snail.
The best way to win, in my personal opinion.
If one of the workers gets on the snail, they just start riding them slowly to the other side. And if they manage to get the snail all the way to the other side, they just win instantly.
Snail victory, baby!
It is the definition of just crazy insanity in managing everything all at once, because you have five people all talking to each other and slamming on buttons and yelling at this arcade game. You have the queen trying to stay alive and kill the worker nodes, and the queen's the only one who can capture the upgrade berries. And then you have all these workers running around trying to grab nodes or turning into warriors to help the queen or trying to kill the enemy's workers who are on the snail. And it's just so much going on.
It's lots of fun. I loved it, except for the fact that someone on our team was like so into it. He was like yelling at people. He was like way too competitive for playing an arcade game. Like, holy crap.
Yeah, we were just at PAX South and he was just like in Uber mode. And then he stepped out for a break and his son came in. And then his son was just the same way.
Wait, really? I didn't remember that.
It was only for like a round or two.
Oh, I probably already dropped out by then. Yeah. I went over and played Smash Bros. With Keaton and Kyle.
Nice. So that was Killer Queen, the original arcade cabinet. They brought that game to Switch, and I know there are modifications, but I don't know what they are. I think it's less players.
Would be nice. Maybe 4v4.
I think it's still that same idea of like craziness going on while you're trying to battle the queen and you're trying to support your queen and take out the enemy, that kind of thing.
Battle the Queen. So that came out yesterday on Nintendo Switch, and I got it, and I've not played it yet because I'm waiting for a good opportunity to play with my buds.
Nice.
Yes. Nice.
So you're kind of holding on to it for like a party or something?
Yeah, one of them party games.
Do you have enough Joy-Cons for something like that?
I do. I have 4 Joy-Cons and 3 Pro Controllers.
Wow.
And also 4 GameCube Controllers.
I didn't know you got that many Pro Controllers.
Yeah, for Christmas 1 year, I got like, I think all 3 in 1 year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was a good Christmas.
That is a good Christmas.
It was a good Christmas.
So that's what you've been playing. That's what's been coming out here for you soon. I have been getting into some interesting stuff. So earlier in the week, there wasn't too much interesting going on. We finished Borderlands, and I kind of took a break from that because we had been, every chance I got whenever we were both available, I was trying to play Borderlands. That way I could beat it with you before you went off and did all the extra stuff.
So that I could, because I couldn't keep playing because I wanted to play through the new content first with him.
Yeah. So now that you were free to run into your Borderlands haven, I took a break from that, and I was tied between a couple games. I wanted to just sit down and play one of these games in my backlog that I've been collecting. There's all these great free games we've been getting that we're talking about from Epic or from PlayStation Plus, things like that. So I was deciding between, what was it? I need to finish Dark Souls 3. I have Batman Arkham Knight that I got for free from both PlayStation and from Epic. And I have Assassin's Creed that I got from the Humble Monthly Bundle a little while ago. Haven't even booted that up. Hitman, I have Hitman 1, the full edition, and I only played that for like an hour. So I had a couple of games in the backlog that were just these really big single-player games, and I wanted to sit down and play some of them, and I ended up deciding on Batman. So I put a couple hours here and there throughout the week into Batman Arkham Knight, and I like that game. Batman is fun.
Is that one of the ones you hadn't played yet?
Correct. I played Arkham Asylum and Arkham Knight, and I would say Arkham Knight is probably in one of my top 10 games. Like, that game's really fun.
Nice.
Did I say Arkham Knight just now?
Yeah, you said Arkham Knight twice.
Okay, I meant Arkham City is the one I've played and is in one of my top 10 games.
Okay,
Arkham Knight,
and you're playing Arkham Knight.
Yes, I'm playing Arkham Knight.
And that's the last one, right?
Yes. There are technically 4 Arkham games. There are 3 in the trilogy, and then there's like a prequel that was made by a different developer that came out in between City and Knight called
Arkham. Okay, gotcha.
So, Knight, what... I didn't expect this, but I really, really like it. When you start off in Knight, you start off with like 80 or 90% of all the stuff that you ended with in Arkham City, which is cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it makes sense, but I haven't played Arkham City in a long time.
Oh.
Like at least 5 years, if not more. And so I booted up Arkham Knight, and I was like, I don't remember how to use any of these gadgets, and they all have like quick button combos and stuff like that, and it's been a fun learning process to get back into it.
Wow. And then you eventually lose them all, I assume?
No, there's just new upgrades.
What? That's so cool.
Yeah, so like gadgets that you gained through Arkham City, you just start with, and then like upgrades to your gadgets. Now there are a few that you have to repurchase, especially a lot of the like combo punching ones,
right?
But most of the basic stuff that you've had to unlock in the previous games, they just start you with in this game, and it feels great. It feels like, it doesn't feel like I'm back to being weak. It feels like I'm just where I'm at, and then I've, you know, as Batman's gotten older and more experienced, I'm just gaining more skills and abilities.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah. I really like that game.
You played some Batman.
I played some Batman. I will say there is a plot twist in there pretty early on that I really liked. I expected the twist, but I did not expect at all how the twist came about, and it has set up a very interesting game. It means the rest of the game is going to be way different than I expected, and I'm super into it. If you've started playing it because you got it for free, or if you played it before, it's the end of the Ace Chemical mission. It has some pretty cool stuff going on, so I'm excited about
Ooh.
That.
Spoopy.
Yeah.
Very spoopy. Spoopy for Spoopy Month.
Spoopy Month. That'd be a fun game to play on Halloween, but I have a party to go to.
On Halloween?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm going to be at home playing Luigi's Mansion.
That's kind of like a party.
It's a party, and with the guest list, one, me, and also Luigi.
And Guigi. Party of three.
Party of three. Well, then you can say there's and Edgad.
And Guigi makes three.
I like it.
You get it? Because it's like the baby thing.
Wait, what? The baby thing?
There's a phrase like in Baby Makes Three about like when a couple has a baby.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. So the joke was wasted on me.
Yeah, that's why I had to explain it to you, because that makes the joke funnier.
Thank you for explaining. Okay. So you said Arkham something was one
Arkham
of your
Knight.
Arkham Asylum was top favorite.
Arkham City. I liked Arkham City a lot. I liked Asylum, but City was just, yes, good.
Tasty. You know, I was thinking about that a few days ago because you're familiar with Good Old Games, right?
Yes.
So their newest project is called, let me explain. I guess I can explain what they are first. They're just a website that they're just like a storefront for selling video game downloads, but they sell them all, what's the word? DRM free.
Yes.
Which means there's no like copyright protection? Is that what that means?
Yeah. So there's no anti-piracy built in. They just kind of do it on a trust system, which means there's never going to be a point where you go to launch your game and it's like, you don't have the right internet connection or keys. It's just you'll always have them. You can copy them. You
have the EXE file. It's your game. You get to keep it. Congratulations. Yeah. So they have a launcher called GOG, stands for Good Old Games, and their newest project is Good Old Games 2.0. Have you heard anything about this?
How new is this? Because I have the GOG launcher and I
GOG
use it,
launcher
but it's been a while.
Has been around for a while. GOG 2.0 is in beta, and I finally got accepted into the beta this week. So the goal of Good Old Games 2.0, let me tell you, is to be a unified launcher for all of your games across all other launchers.
There's other places that do that, like Discord does that.
Discord? What?
Yeah, Discord is a game launcher.
It can launch your Steam games and your Epic games?
I'm pretty certain, yeah.
I did not know that. Anyways, Good Old Games does that and puts them in a nice big old library list where you can like, and you can tie it to your Xbox account and your PlayStation account, and it'll throw those games in there too. There's no Nintendo Switch support currently, so you can just add
those. How would it launch them though? What's the point of
it? It doesn't launch them. That's just for library purposes.
Oh, okay.
But it's really fun to see all the games you own across all your platforms just in one big old list.
Yeah.
And I was going through like choosing my favorites and I was like, wow, this is actually really hard. Like what, you know, cause like you can play a really good game and beat it all the way through and be like, oh, that was a really good game, but it's not one of my favorites. And so it was really fun to look through and be like, is this game actually one of my favorites? And so I was going to say, like, what are some of your like favorites that you've not just like played through all the way and like really enjoyed, but like, what are some of your like absolute favorite video games? Cause that was really fun for me to go through and ask myself that.
That's awesome. So I actually am super prepared for this because I already do this on Steam. If there's a game that not only did I beat it and I was like, I like that game, but I was like, I'm going to want to keep this game forever. I'm going to want to come back to this game and eventually play it, even just to remember it because it's that good. I have a special category on Steam that I put them in. And now that I've said that out loud, my Steam application has frozen and is not responding. So Steam is just like, no, screw you. You're not prepared for this question.
I also did it on Steam, so let me see if mine boots up. And I can try and bail you out. Oh, I mean, I can just name some off the top of my head. Like,
yeah, I can too.
Stanley Parable, Borderlands 2.
You liked Stanley Parable that much?
That's what I was saying. I was going through, and I looked at Stanley Parable on the list, and I was like, is that one of my favorite games? And I said, yes. Yes, it is. That game was so good. Real quick rundown. Stanley Parable is like a 15-minute game where literally every single choice you make changes the story and the narrator who's narrating it, because he goes along with what you're doing. And so I must have played that game like for eight hours of playtime. And it takes like 15 to 20 minutes to beat it. It was just so much fun going through and getting every single bit of content out of that game. That is definitely, like, I think of Stanley Parable, and I'm like, yes, that is one of my favorite games.
Nice. Nice, nice.
Did you Steam load?
Yes, my Steam load. I had to quit and come back into it.
Nice.
Okay. So, some of my favorite games of all time. This is, I need to come up and clean this list a little bit, because I don't know if I'd have all these on here, and I'm sure I'd probably add some more recent games, but what I have collected over time, of course, Team Fortress 2. That's my most played game of all time. I love that game.
Uh-huh.
Dark Souls Remastered.
Dark Souls Remastered?
I have beaten Dark Souls like 4 times in the last year, and 3 of them were speed runs where I beat the whole game in under like 6 hours each time.
And one of those was on Switch, right?
Yeah, so I played the original Dark Souls for probably 40 hours and never beat it when it first came out on PC, and I liked that game a lot, and I added it to my favorites list because I loved that game. It was great. When Remastered came out, I bought it on Switch. I played it earlier this year when I was on a cruise, just as like my off-time game. And I beat it for the first time on Switch, and I was just so in love with it, I wanted to keep playing. So I came home from my cruise, and I bought it again on PC so I could play it in 60 frames a second in HD, and it was worth every penny. Especially because since I already owned the original, the remaster was half off.
Right, so, I was going to say, there's some kind of sale there.
Yeah, you get
here at Patient Players, we believe in sales.
So then I played through most of that game again with Kyle, and then I was at the overnight 48-hour gaming marathon with my friend that I went to earlier this year, where I brought my whole PC set up and played VR and did all that stuff. And at one point during one of the nights, a bunch of people went and played D&D for like 4 or 5 hours, and me and one other guy were not playing. And so I was like, let me see if I can beat Dark Souls. And so I played through all of Dark Souls. I got through half the game in the first session, took a nap, came back and played through the rest of it, and I beat the whole game in under 6 hours.
Took a nap like a pansy.
Well,
bet you won't beat it in one sitting.
Then when Coward. I came and visited you in July, I played it on the car ride on the Switch up, and I beat it again. And I was almost a full hour under my first run, but then I died 5 times in a row on the final boss. And so I was like 50 minutes shorter on my second speed run. So I like that game a lot. I think it's fantastic.
Interesting.
And it's one of my all-time favorites. So Dark Souls, Team Fortress, Skyrim's in there. Skyrim between all standard edition, special edition, and VR. I've probably put in like 400 or 500 hours, and that game's so fun.
I met with a friend at church this week who started paying for Elder Scrolls Online. And he could not stop talking about it.
Really?
He absolutely loves it. And so I told him a little bit about how you play in the VRs with the bows and the arrows, and he got real giddy.
Nice. Yeah, Skyrim in VR works in ways you wouldn't expect it to, and then it fails in a lot of ways you expect it to, like menu navigation. Like it's not built for VR, but then the idea of taking this game I've put hundreds of hours into and then putting it into VR and being like, I want to shoot this guy with an arrow, and instead of, you know, notching the arrow and holding down left click or holding down the trigger and he pulls and then like let go and aim the reticle, it's just, I'm just going to physically pull this bow and shoot this dude with this arrow, and it just works. And it's kind of overpowered because a lot of the systems in that game are based around how fast you can swing stuff or shoot arrows. And when you can do it as fast as you can physically do it, it's kind of broken, but it's super fun.
That's great.
So Skyrim is up here. Let me see what else. Mountain Blade Warband. I've talked about that a bunch.
That was on sale this week. Speaking of which, I can do a quick plug. We have a Twitter now. That's at patient_players on Twitter. And so, yeah, when Warband went on sale, I tweeted out to all the tweeters out there saying, hey, you can go pick up Warband for $5 right now. Or the whole,
so do it.
The whole Mountain Blade collection for $8, I think it was. I don't know if the sale's still going on, but that's why you should follow our Twitter for great gaming deals. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the other ones are worth it. I've not really played them much. Warband is absolutely worth it. For $5, that's insane. And it will just help you get hyped up for Mountain Blade Warband 2. Which I pointed this out to you when you mentioned the sale to me earlier, but I still think it's hilarious how they've made three games, right? Mountain Blade, Mountain Blade Warband, Mountain Blade with Fire and Sword. And then they're making Mountain Blade 2. But they're not just making Mountain Blade 2, they're specifically making Mountain Blade Warband 2. So even the developers know that Warband is the best version.
That's fantastic.
It's so good. I'm so excited.
Yeah, just as a reminder, that's patient_players on Twitter.
@patient_players.
@patient_. Because patient players was taken by someone who's tweeted once 6 years ago. Unfortunately.
If you happen to own @patient_players on Twitter, let us know.
Please delete your account and then let us know.
Or send us the password. We'll take care of it for you. can't bring yourself to do it.
We'll delete your one tweet. I know it's a 6-year-old tweet, but I'll do it for free. Okay, what else you got?
Quick note on Mountain Blade. If we didn't run out of time last week, I was going to mention this. You remember how I mentioned that I'll get that random urge, that itch, where I'm like, oh man, I want to play Mountain Blade.
Yes.
That happened to me last week, and I almost booted it up, and then I was like, oh, I got to play Borderlands and Batman and all these other things, and I managed to stay away, and this week I've played enough new games, and I'm like, okay, I don't want to go back to Mountain Blade just yet. It just made me even more excited for the sequel.
Man, that is crazy how much you love that game.
Now that I'm sitting here looking at my favorites list, I realize the last time I played that game was exactly a year ago this coming Wednesday.
Really?
Yeah. So I have stayed away from... I've been off Warband. I've been clean for about a year.
Nice.
I need to go back to it. Let me see what else. Portal 2, always a classic.
Oh, heck yes. Is that on mine? Oh, my word, it's not.
See, right, I have Rocket League, but I think it's just because I got caught up in how much everyone else liked Rocket League, and I did like it, but I don't think this is one I'm going to go back and play years from now, so I should probably remove it. I've only played 18 hours of it.
The conclusion I came to, which says a lot about my personality, is like, did this game, like, consume my thinking when I was not playing it? That was kind of the conclusion I came to with whether or not it's a favorite of mine, if I went back and played it a second time for literally no reason. Because I like achieving things in games, you know?
Yeah.
Like, as bad as it sounds, I rarely play games, like, strictly just for fun. I want to get all the achievements. I want to unlock all the things. So, like, with Portal 2, I've also beaten that maybe, like, 3 times just for no reason. Just because I'm like, that is a good game, and I want to play it again.
I've had an idea for a year or two that I think would be super fun, because I occasionally like doing those really long types of marathons of games. Like, I went out last year, 2 years ago, and I bought Lord of the Rings Return of the King for PC, that old game, and I sat down and played through the entire game in 8 hours with a friend of mine, Ethan, all in one day on Twitch, and it was super fun. So I like doing that kind of thing, and I liked playing all the way through Dark Souls. I would be super down to marathon all of Portal 1 and Portal 2 in, like, a race with someone. I was thinking about doing this with Marion, where, like, we both sit down at our computers and start up streams.
Like, racing each other?
Yeah, and our goal is to, like, first one to beat both Portal 1 and Portal 2.
That seems a bit unfair.
Why is that?
Because you've beaten them, so you have, like, all the solutions in your head. Has she beaten Portal games?
Yeah, she loves Portal.
Oh, okay, then never mind.
Yeah, and she's beaten all the co-op with me, too.
Nice.
Yeah. She loves Portal, so she thinks that'd be fun. I don't know if she wants to do the competitive part of it, but just some sort of stream. Maybe we buddy it up and we just both play it on the same computer and we just switch off or something. And then we could go through the co-op if we want
to. You have to switch controller every time you shoot a portal out.
Or we double hand it. I get the left stick and the left portal, and she gets the right stick and the right portal.
That sounds amazing.
That actually sounds super fun.
I like it.
I'm sure when she listens to this podcast, she's going to be like, yeah.
We should make a patient player's Twitch channel and then just have it, like, host our personal channels when we stream.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'd like that.
I don't know how hosting works or how to like set it up, but we can figure it out.
You just point it to another channel, I'm fairly certain.
Yeah, okay.
Other games I've got up here. And we got plenty of stuff to talk about. I don't have to spend forever talking about my favorite games, but Skyrim. See, I have Burnout on here. I think this is another case of I really liked the way Burnout Paradise. I think that's just my favorite driving game, and so I put it up here because it's such a good driving game,
mm-hmm.
but I don't really play driving games that often. So if I wanted to play a driving game, I would probably play Burnout Paradise, but I don't think I'd classify that as one of my favorites anymore.
Funny how the list changes.
Yeah. Life moves on, and
I still have a lot of old indies on here where I probably won't play them again, but they're still like considered one of my favorites.
Is one of them Cave Story?
Yes. Cave Story. I've beaten Cave Story 3 or 4 times. That's another one of those ones on like 4 different consoles. Little Inferno. I don't know what it is about that game, but wow.
That game is not a game, Jordan. I tried playing it. I played stuff. It for hours and nothing happened.
For those of you who don't know, Little Inferno takes place in a fireplace the entire game. And the goal is to burn stuff. And you can unlock, I guess, are they achievements? Or maybe you just unlock new items. I forget. But there's like little puzzles you can solve where mm-hmm. it's like, oh, you need to burn the bus with the popcorn or something. And then it has like a witty name to go along with it. Yeah. But it also has like a game. Underlying story. And it's amazing how the whole game just takes place with you burning stuff in a furnace. Oh, it's so good. I love Little Inferno.
Oh, also, if you guys have been listening to the podcast the last 2 or 3 weeks, you'll know that I recently rediscovered World of Goo. Little Inferno is by the same people who did.
Yeah, same. So same art style and stuff.
Yeah.
I also have Rogue Lands.
Oh my gosh, I don't think anyone could possibly have heard of that game who's listening to this podcast. The odds are so low.
Roguelands is just an indie game on Steam. It's roguelike. It's made by like one guy, I think, right?
I think so.
It's really fun. It's really fun with friends, I'd say.
Yeah, there's too much in Roguelands to go through and explain the whole thing right now, I would say.
Yeah, so just let's put a pin in that.
Yeah, maybe we'll make a segment out of our top games of all time, but we could sit here for hours talking about this, and there's so much stuff that's going on this week.
There is lots of stuff. So just quickly, I have FTL and Into the Breach. I don't know if those should still be on there. I don't know. Undertale, Terraria, Super Meat Boy, Divinity 2, Original Sin.
Oh, yeah. That's
good. Or Original Sin 2. Wait, which order is it?
It's Divinity Original Sin 2, because there is a series of games, Divinity 1, 2, and 3, and then they made Divinity Original Sin.
Gotcha.
And Divinity Original Sin 2.
And then Broken Age, Borderlands 2, Fallout 4, Beat Saber, Castle Crashers. Those are basically the main ones in my Steam library, at least.
Nice.
But, yeah, so when I was going through my favorites list on Good Old Games 2.0, mm-hmm. I, like, stopped on Borderlands 3 and thought for a good long while.
Ooh.
I was like, is this a favorite? And it wasn't. And it made me sad.
Is it fair to set that right now?
What, you think like the DLC is going to impact that?
Or just give it time, right? Like we said, you come back to these games later and you want to play through them again, but you just finished it.
I don't see myself wanting to play through it again unless it's with someone who hasn't played it.
I guess so.
With Borderlands 2, like what makes me want to play it again is the story. And
Oh, yeah, because you like Handsome Jack a lot.
Yeah, I love the story in the second one. The third one, I looked at it and I was like, it was a very fun video game, but why would I want to play it again as opposed to something else that would have a good story and good gameplay, you know? Like, it has great gameplay, amazing gameplay in Borderlands 3. But, yeah, so I came to that conclusion.
There's not enough gameplay elements to justify playing it over 2 when 2 has much more memorable moments.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I would agree with
again,
you.
Again, like I said, unless I play it with someone else.
When I think back to Borderlands 2, I can think of like moments I want to see and live through again because those were really cool, and I can think of areas that were really, really neat. When I think back to Borderlands 3, it was a fun shooting game, and that last area was kind of cool. But other than that, I don't have a lot of like, oh, it would be really fun to watch this thing happen again.
Well, yeah, except for one exception. The quest where you kill yourself.
Yeah, but I don't know if I need... I think you just want the gun that you get from that quest.
Yeah.
That shames you all the time.
That's probably my best memory from that whole game, is just killing yourselves and getting a gun that called me a gun slut for the rest of the game.
Oh, man. That was a good part of the game. Alrighty. You know, it's funny we're talking about old classics, because if I stood back, like, you know, let's take this GOG. Oh, and a quick point of clarification. I believe GOG no longer stands for Good Old Games. I think they're just GOG.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they changed that a while ago. And their launcher is called GOG Galaxy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So if GOG is collecting all your favorite games, the thing is, some of my favorite games of all time that I would always love to go back to go beyond the Steams of the world and the PlayStations and the Xbox. And you got to go back into some old classics. And while this week you were going through your classics, I was sitting there finally enacting a plan I'd had for a very long time to archive some of my old GameCube games, because there was a point after I had moved into the home I'm in now where I went to go play an older game on the GameCube, and I found my GameCube disc reader was broken. And it was a very sad day for me. My original GameCube I've had since I was a little kid, it stopped reading discs. And I still have my Nintendo Wii from when I was a kid, and that one does read discs, thankfully, but it has its own set of problems. It has some weirdness around the audio output, and it does get some crashes and some freezes here and there. It's all discolored and yellow. It's on its last legs. If I was on eBay selling it, I would not put it as like standard quality. I would put it as like barely working quality. So I started getting concerned about my old GameCube games. If I ever wanted to play them again, how would I do that? And I looked up, you know, archiving games and things like that, because I'm not a fan or supporter of downloading copyrighted ROMs. We don't have to go into that whole conversation, but I would certainly love to take my discs and rip those onto a file that I could save and preserve for my own use, since it's a game I own and I have the disc right here. And I started looking into that last night, and it didn't take as long as I thought it would.
Wait,
and it totally works.
You just started looking into it last night?
Basically, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So I'd been thinking about it for a while, and I knew that you had to put the Homebrew channel on the Wii, which is kind of a hack program that allows you to mess with the base level hardware of the Wii. And if you are somebody who does go for some of the copyright breaking ROMs, that would be one of the ways you could load them into the Wii and that kind of thing. Or you could just load third party software onto the Wii. So I went through the
YouTube
process.
Or Netflix.
Yeah, well, there is a Netflix app already, but there's some weird stuff out there.
Well, remember back in the day when the only way to get a Wii to read a Netflix disc was to hack it. Oh, it was a DVD player is what it was. Back when Netflix was still shipping out DVDs, you had to hack a DVD player onto your Wii that was capable of reading DVDs.
Yes.
Triggered.
So I did the hack that you need to do to initially load the Homebrew channel onto the Wii, which was pretty straightforward. The guides were a little messy, but I figured it out, no problem. And it worked. And then I threw the like base level operating system overwrite onto it so that if anything happens and I need to like completely reboot my Wii from dead, I can do that. And I can restore the original settings of it and everything. So that's all saved to an SD card.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. And then I installed the Homebrew browser, which is basically connects up to the internet, and there's a hosted server that hosts all these people's Homebrew software with descriptions and ratings and everything, and you can browse it and see what software you want for your Wii. And there was DVD players, there were music players, there was a calculator, there was like weird ripoff forms of Tetris.
Oh no, I need the answer to this equation. Honey, get out the Wii.
There was a Wii alarm clock app.
That's awesome.
There was, this was the best. There was a web server.
Interesting.
So if you wanted to host a website on your Nintendo Wii, now you have your answer.
Wow, that is, they really thought of everything.
Yeah. So I basically installed CleanRip, which is a disk ripping program to rip the .iso file, which is the full image of the entire disk, onto a file on a computer. And I downloaded a GameCube memory card manager so that you can stick the GameCube memory cards into the Wii and you can just pull the files straight off of them onto an SD card, or vice versa. You can put them onto the SD card. And so, yeah, I was doing other stuff on my computer, playing other games and stuff. And meanwhile, I just had my Wii plugged into the other port on my monitor, and I was just switching back and forth. And it takes about 10 minutes to read a GameCube game. It takes about a half hour to read a Wii game. And I just started backing up a bunch of my games. 10 minutes? Yeah.
That's crazy. So when you import the file, does it how do you read the file again?
So the file comes off as a ISO file, which is a common format for any disk. So like when you insert a DVD, it appears as an ISO format. So you can mount them and look at the files on the disk. And there are emulator programs like Dolphin, I know, is the most common one. It's the one I downloaded last night. And Dolphin can run GameCube and Wii software. And it just reads the disk as if the Wii would read it, right? It looks for the ISO file, it reads it, and then it's playing the game.
Okay. Does that mean you get like full like 60 frames on all the games?
Generally, yeah. So in Dolphin, there's a lot of Dolphin that's devoted to kind of graphic tweaking. So you can leave it as default as you want, or you can turn on a bunch of graphic options. Some of them work better on some games than others. Some of them break certain games. I think I kind of left most things at the default, and I started turning on some enhancements to see if it looked good or not. I was oversampling the resolution, so I was running the games instead of like 640 by 480. I was running them at my native resolution, which is 1440p. So it was upscaled like 8 times over.
Mm-hmm.
And
did it look pretty bad or good?
So it doesn't change the models, right? So it looked like a GameCube game. But it looked sharp as heck.
Nice.
It did not look like if I plug in my Wii to my crisp HD monitor and play it, it looks all blurred and you can tell it's an old game. These looked like modern games that had really, really bad art design.
That's awesome.
It was super cool. So I never finished playing through Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door. So that's one of my goals, is to play through that game. It's really good. And I had some old classics that I went back to and I wanted to play a bunch of. So here's the extension of my favorites list. Here are some games that I will always go back and want to play. And these might not be what you find on your average top 10 list. Sonic
Wait,
Riders
top 10?
For the GameCube. What?
These are top 10?
No. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
Like, people probably won't remember these as the old classics.
I know you've discussed Sonic Riders before on the podcast.
Briefly, I think.
I'm fairly certain.
Sonic Riders is I think it's a good game. I love it. I played last night for like an hour, and I still loved it. So I think it's just a good game. There are 6 main tracks and a bonus track, and each of the tracks has an alternate mode, which the alternate mode is just a totally new track. So there's basically like 12 race tracks to run on, and I played through 10 of them last night.
Holy crap, oh my word.
It's a fun game. I still like that game just as much. I want to find people to play it with, but all of my old friends that would play it with me when I was like 12 years old are no longer in town or interested in playing Sonic Riders.
Or 12 years old.
Or 12 years old. But I do have hope, because Dolphin has a network emulator where basically if you have the exact same... If you have the identical memory card files and identical disk ISOs and identical versions of Dolphin, it will start running the same game at the same time on both of your computers, and then it will start crossing your inputs between them. So you're basically both playing with each other at the same time. And unless something really weird happens and your games get desynced, then it'll start acting differently. But that's how people do things like play hacked versions of Smash Bros. Brawl or Smash Bros. Melee Online, is by using these kind of network features.
Oh, and I bet it runs better than Nintendo's network.
Probably. So you can either connect directly to each other if you know how to do port forwarding and stuff like that, which I do, or you can connect through a hosting server. But I imagine it probably works better if you just connect straight to each other.
Okay. Well, so, I want to interject something real quick, just because it's kind of relevant.
Okay.
Have you heard about Steam Remote Play Together?
No, I have not.
As of in 9 days, I think the beta will come out. They're finally releasing playing shoot, how do you describe it? Playing your Steam games with someone else at their computer. So it's okay. Like, what was the Chrome one that we tried? Like Moonlight or something?
So we were trying to use the NVIDIA game streaming.
And that's what it was.
NVIDIA got all weird with controllers, and there was a way to do it through Chrome with Moonlight or whatever it was called, and we could never get it to work. We have spent so many hours, you and me,
yes,
over the years. Like every
that's
2 years.
That's why I was so excited for this. So Steam will allow you to play local multiplayer games with other people online.
Nice.
Finally.
I hope it works well.
October 21st. I'm so excited. And so you mentioned the playing online GameCube games. I was like, oh, that's what Steam's going to be doing. And I can't wait.
All right. I will play whatever Steam game you want me to play with you if you will play Mario Baseball with me.
Oh, Mario. I thought you were going to say Sonic Racers.
Let's do both.
Multiplayer?
Why not? Let's do both.
Is Sonic Racers multiplayer? Or is it like a single player experience?
No, it's multiplayer. That's how I played most of that game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mario Superstar Baseball on the GameCube was also another game that I just played the heck out of with my friends, and that game is super fun. I played that for like an hour last night, and I was just having fun. I honestly want to sit down and play more Mario Baseball right now.
That's the one you played on stream, right?
Yeah, that was one of the first games I ever streamed when I first got my video capture card when we were at, I think, the second PAX South. I bought a video capture card, and I plugged in my old GameCube, and I had never fully beat Mario Baseball. As many hours as I had played it with my friends, I had never unlocked the last character, which requires beating the game on the hardest difficulty to unlock Bowser in the campaign, and then you have to beat the campaign as Bowser to get the final character. So I did both of those things on stream.
Wait, so who's the final one again?
Hammer Bro.
Hammer? What? What a random character.
Well, all of the team captains start unlocked. So, like, Bowser's unlocked and everyone's unlocked. And most of the players are unlocked, except each team captain has one player on their team in the campaign that's not normally available. And you have to beat the whole campaign to unlock them for everything else.
Oh, I see.
So, you have to beat the game as Bowser in order to get this final character. Except the game doesn't let you play as Bowser in the campaign until you beat it on the hardest difficulty as somebody else.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I assume he's the villain of the campaign?
Yeah, so he's the final boss of the campaign. So, like, if I wanted to play Dixie Kong, I would have to beat the campaign as Donkey Kong, and I'd already done that. But the difficulty doesn't matter there. The reason I had never done it before was because I was not good enough as a kid to beat it on the hardest difficulty. Oh, man. Those games are so good.
They are. Do you play them with GameCube controllers or, like, Xbox controllers?
You could do either. I actually have the GameCube adapter that uses USB for the Wii U,
right.
And you can use that with Dolphin.
Okay, nice.
You just have to download a driver, and they have a good guide on doing that.
Nice, nice, nice. Very good.
The last thing I'll say on the emulator is there's one game that I really, really liked. I thought it was a top-quality game. It wasn't very well-known, and so I don't think many people played it or knew about it, but it's fantastic, and I never beat it, and it's called Little King's Story. Have you ever heard of it?
I have. That rings a lot of bells, actually. I don't know why.
Did I tell you about it?
Probably.
Okay, so it's almost exactly like Pikmin, but you are a little boy who finds a crown, and that crown means anybody listens to you. It's like a magical crown that makes everybody listen to you, and you instantly become king of a little town. And then you run around as this little boy who's the king, and you have these little villagers. And you'd, like, throw them at the monsters, and they attack the monsters, and you organize them and bring them back and throw them again. And it's like Pikmin. But instead of having three colors of Pikmin, you have so many villagers. And then when you return from your adventures with all of your loot and money that you got while you were out on your adventures, you spend that on, like, creating houses for more villagers so you can have more max villagers. Or you create places to train your villagers. So now a villager can become an archer or a soldier or a mason or a farmer. And then when you're out in the field, you might find puzzles that only certain villagers can complete. Like, oh, I need a miner to break down this rock wall so we can go kill this monster. And then when I'm fighting the monster, I don't really want the miner in there because he's going to be not a good combat class.
Get out of here, miner, you stupid head.
But instead of like five Pikmin colors, you end up having, I think at one point I had like eight different types of villagers and I had like 80 villagers with me.
Interesting.
It was really cool. And the whole soundtrack is all classical music, which is awesome.
Oh.
And it's just it's a really, really neat game. And I liked it a lot, and I never beat it, and I want to go back and play it again.
Do you own it on Steam?
I forgot that it came out on Steam. I don't.
Okay.
Is it the same version?
Yeah, it says an HD port.
Oh, and this is not expensive at all.
Apparently, it came out with lots of bugs, and so the overall reviews are mixed, but some of them say they've since fixed them.
This is good to know. I'm glad I patient played it, and I waited. I'm looking at the screenshots, and this looks exactly like I remember. I'm wondering how the controls will be, because it's a Wii game, so the original controls are using the pointer, just like the Pikmin versions, the Wii versions of Pikmin.
It says partial controller support, so
huh.
I guess you just joystick it out.
Well, I will do my research, because I've already ripped that game to a file, so I could play it whenever I want to. But now I have to go through the rest of my backlog of old games and just see which ones I want to keep forever. And which I also ripped Metal Arms Glitch in the System, which is like a really old shooter.
Man. Never even heard of that one.
It's so good. I got a lot of good GameCube games to go play, but we should move on before we lose the rest of our audience.
The only GameCube games I think I ever played was Animal Crossing and maybe also Mario Baseball. I legit can't think of... Oh, Kirby Air Ride!
Yes, I got my save file for Kirby Air Ride ripped off because I had like all the unlocks on
good.
That.
But
I need to go back and actually rip the game file now.
Nice.
Would you play that one with me online?
I would love to play Kirby Air Ride.
Nice. GameCube. Is it fair to say that when I visited your home when you were a young lad and I brought my GameCube and I brought you Animal Crossing, was that your first exposure to console gaming?
Did I have a DS at that point? I think I had a DS.
No, the DS wasn't out yet because it was just the GameCube.
The original DS?
The DS came out with the Wii.
Wow. So, yeah. We grew up with an NES, and I remember playing Mario Bros. But then there was like a big gap between that and the GameCube.
Okay.
So,
because we didn't know each other super well. We were really young, and our families were together. And I remember I had brought my GameCube on this extended trip where we were staying at your house for a few days, and I had borrowed... I don't own Animal
Crossing.
And
I'm glad you did.
I had borrowed Animal Crossing from a friend, and I was playing it, and you were so captivated. I remember you were just in love with that game, and it's kind of been the same ever since.
I was about to say, I still am to this day.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the Switch version.
Yeah, hard to be a patient player on that one.
I already have the money for it saved.
Nice. It's all that work you did this week.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was my adventure. Mostly playing Borderlands with you last weekend and then Batman, and then last night was a bunch of old classics.
Nice. That's cool. I saw Discord was like, Daniel's playing Dolphin. And I was like the emulator, or is there a new game called Dolphin?
Yep.
Yeah, so that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to look at some emails now?
Sure. Well, okay, hold on. We have to address last week's email.
Oh, right. Yes, of course.
So last week we got an email that was a dire warning from K. We will call him Agent K. He didn't call himself that, but that's how we'll refer to Agent K. Who warned us that he spoke into the Abyss, and the Abyss spoke back in the form of a video game demo. With controller support. He did explicitly mention the controller support. And obviously, he came to us in his time of need, and so we took the time upon ourselves to investigate. And we did download the demo of this, what you might call a video game, and played it for, 20 minutes? 30 minutes?
If even.
And I'm here to tell you, Agent K, it is a game where you drive a car. And
that's it.
That's the whole shebang. So
Keaton's coming over. I mean, sorry, Agent K is coming over today because he's actually buying my old Oculus Rift because I'm upgrading to the S, which I'm so excited about.
Ooh!
But he's coming over today, and I'm gonna be like, okay, what? What was the point? Of sending us this, it looked. I watched Daniel play it, but it looked like a really fun little racer game. I think it was made by one guy.
Yeah, you heard me say earlier that like Burnout Paradise is the driving game I would play if I wanted to play one because it's so good. And I was enjoying playing that one. I'm not a huge driving game fan, but I really liked it.
Yeah. I think we were expecting more of like a dark twist. And then we were much surprised to find out, no, it's just a solid, like, free little racing game you can download with drifting and dodging traffic.
The name of that is XF Drive.
That's the one.
Maybe that's on us for expecting the Abyss to provide only abyssal objects. I mean, that's kind of...
Does that make it racist?
Abyssist, I would say.
Abyssist. I like it.
Yeah. So our apologies to the Abyss. Our apologies to Agent K. It was a fantastic game. our expectations were way off.
Yes.
Oh, man. Hey, let's talk about the Oculus real quick.
Yeah, let's do that.
Have you already purchased the Rift S?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Because have you heard everything going on with the Quest and the pass-through?
Yeah. Is the Quest better?
It possibly? That's what I want. That's what I'm waiting to do anything until I figure out how this all plays out, because they haven't actually released that feature yet. But
okay.
So they both do inside-out head tracking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Up until now, the Quest has been standalone, so you can't play any of your PC software. It's just you have your own Oculus store on there, and it plays most of the same stuff, but there's some stuff that's Rift only.
Right, and they said that a lot of them you have to repurchase, so that's what dissuaded me. If I got the Quest, it would literally be just me waiting for the pass-through to come out.
Yes, But you can take it with you places. You don't need to plug it into your PC. You can take it with you wherever and just play your Rift games or your Quest games. The Rift S, I believe, has slightly higher resolution at a slightly lower frame rate, like 90 versus 80 frame rate. And the Quest...
The S has a lower frame rate? I think the S had the higher frame rate.
But it has the lower resolution, though, right? They're not equivalent. I think that one of them's off. They're both off on one.
I do know, and this I actually did consider the Quest, because the Quest has an OLED as opposed to the LCD in the S.
Oh, yeah. So that's the difference.
Which
so
is
it has
a
the
big
OLED.
Old deal.
Yeah. So it's got the OLED, even though it's a slightly lower frame rate. But with this new pass-through feature they just announced, I know there's a lot of Rift S owners that are upset because they feel like they were kind of given an inferior product for the same price, because they're both $400. And so I think some of the sentiment I was hearing was that there's a future capability for those who don't know, where the Quest, which was previously the standalone version as opposed to the Rift S that ran off your computer and was more powerful, there is an update coming for the Quest where through a cable you're going to be able to plug in the Quest to your computer similar to a Rift S. So at that point, the Quest would both be able to play the powerful games on the computer, and it would also be able to play the standalone games that it could already play. So it can kind of do both for the price of one of them. And so people who invested a bunch of money in the Rift S, which was supposed to be the top tier, highest quality that you plugged into a computer.
Right.
I think some people are upset that they're kind of focusing all this development and upgrades to this, what was previously like a mid-tier item, and advancing it up to the high tier. Now, I don't know if I would be complaining that they're improving another product just because I bought one of their products. Like, what else are they going to do? They can't make the Rift S run mobile. So
right.
I don't know what Oculus is supposed to do.
You know,
I do know
you've changed my mind, actually. Like, I still have time to cancel my order. I'm looking at the specs. So the Quest does have better resolution.
Uh-huh.
And the OLED. It just has a refresh rate of 72 as opposed to 80.
Oh, so the original Rift is 90, so they're both downgrades from the Rift.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I did remember that. When they first announced them, I was thinking, I don't know if I want to upgrade because I like my frame rate, and I don't need to spend a bunch of money to get a replacement for the Rift that just has slightly better resolution. But, so I was interested when I heard that you could plug in the Quest, because I have a Rift. I don't use it that often in my room, and I would probably use a Quest to show it off to my friends and bring it to events and things like that if I had a Quest. But I just have too many of my games on Steam, and I like doing the weird stuff that you wouldn't be able to do through the Oculus store. Not like the weird stuff, but like like the wacky game demos or modifying game files or stuff like that. I like doing that too much to switch over to a fully, like, within the Oculus system. Like, there's a game we played together called Mass Exodus that's really fun, and that's a Steam-only game.
Yeah. So I can't cancel my order, so it looks like I'm still getting the S.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm fine with that. Because I wouldn't really want to take it, like, with me anyways.
Yeah,
you know,
makes sense.
Having, like, a bunch of other people's faces on my Oculus.
Yeah. I am going to wait and see. I wasn't planning on upgrading anything at all right now, but I do have some funds saved up to buy myself something nice. So depending on how this holiday season goes and all that kind of stuff, I might see how what people's opinions of the Quest are using the pass-through mode. And if
that's a good point.
I might do the same thing. If I'm being a patient player. If the feature comes out and people like it and it works well and it allows me to do all the same stuff I could do on my Rift right now, like, all Beat Saber with the custom mods and the custom song downloads and all that stuff, and I could play Mass Exodus. And if it's exactly the same as my current Rift, but just slightly lower frame rate, higher resolution, and I can take it with me on the go, that is absolutely worth $400, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. So would you keep your current one for, like, Marion to use?
Probably not, because I don't think she's that interested in doing most of those things.
That's fair.
Yeah. I would probably, if I could sell it, I probably would. I mean, I don't know if it's personal, but would you tell me how much you sold it for?
Yeah, I sold it for $250.
That's fantastic. I would totally do that. $150 for an upgrade to a Quest would be awesome.
That's exactly, yeah. I was like, if I can sell this for $250, then I'm definitely going to upgrade $150. Because the main reason I don't use my Oculus very much right now is because setting up the cameras in my bedroom is a nightmare. Mm-hmm. Just awful. And so I watched a review of the S, and they were talking about how amazing it is at tracking the controllers with no external cameras. And I was like, wow, I would definitely pay like $150 to upgrade that. And so I looked up how much people were selling theirs on like eBay with all three cameras and two controllers. And it was like $280 or $290. So I said, hey, Keaton, you want my Oculus for $250? And he's like, yes.
So what happens if you move your hands behind you? Like right now I have a third sensor behind me. So if I, like, swing my arms around my back, so let's say you're in a fighting game and you have to, like, pull out a sword from a scabbard on your back.
Right.
I would reach my thing behind my head and click the trigger. How does it know? Because if it's only using pass-through from the front of the actual headset, right?
Mm-hmm. It has lots of cameras on it. It has, like, six cameras on it.
So
there might be some that just, like, point backwards with, like, maybe a lens that bends it. I don't know.
So I'm super interested in your opinion. So I want to hear how the Rift S is. I'm going to be paying attention to how the Quest pass-through works, and then maybe I'll be upgrading. That'd be interesting if I had the Quest and you had the Rift S.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So I get it on Monday. It's delivered on Monday, so I'll probably be texting you about it then.
Cool. All right. Good to hear about that. Wow. That was a lot. We've done a lot today.
That was a lot. Did we talk about the free games on Epic?
Already? Oh, no, we haven't.
Free games, everyone. This week, pick up Surviving Mars on Epic Games. And I don't have the description ready. Stall for me, Daniel.
So we like to just mention each week what is available out there at a low price or for free for people who are patient players like ourselves. You heard I've been playing Batman. I got that game for free just a few weeks ago from the Epic Store, and I'm loving it. So there's a bunch of opportunities out there if you don't want to spend a lot of money, and you can still get your hands on some really good games. We briefly mentioned before October, like at the beginning of or at the end of September, that the October free games for PlayStation Plus are a baseball MLB Show game.
I'm going to sneeze.
And
sorry, I think Jordan I'm allergic sneezing. To really good stallers because that was a really good stall.
we'll just test this. I'll just keep stalling and see if you keep sneezing.
No, I'm ready now though.
Well, but I got to finish PlayStation. The real game is The Last of Us. Go get The Last of Us.
Oh yeah, Last of Us is out on PlayStation 4 with PS Plus.
I still need to play that game. I haven't ever played it.
So, Surviving Mars is a, excuse me. It's a sci-fi city builder about colonizing Mars. And, I guess it's like Sim City, but on Mars. And so you have to like make sure they don't suffocate and make sure there's like no cracks in the buildings, stuff like that. So it's like a city simulator, but on Mars.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, well, it's free right now, and it has tons of DLC, apparently, that you can buy, like, lots of DLC. Ooh, the Mysteries Resupply Pack is free. I'm going to pick that up right now.
Jordan's getting the DLC on air.
Yeah, for free. Or one of the DLCs. There's a lot of DLCs, apparently, which I think is really cool.
So I've actually, there's another one that I've been looking at. I
just got a text from my mom that says, bless you.
She's looking out for you, man.
Oh.
So the Humble Bundle, I've skipped the last 2 months of the Humble Monthly Bundle just because the revealed games beforehand didn't really pique my interest. And once the full game set came out, I wasn't too disappointed. I didn't really miss out on too much. But boy, oh boy, are they hitting hard with the November games. So the October games are out already. Those are the ones I skipped. You can sign up now for the November bundle that will come out at the beginning of November. And they have released a few games in advance of what will be available in that bundle. And so you can get them early if you sign up right now. That is, listen to these games. This is how many games they already have. Call of Duty World War II, the full game.
Wow.
Which they already gave away Black Ops 3 and Black Ops, the multiplayer and the Battle Royale and the zombies a few months ago, right? You got the full game?
I don't remember.
So they gave away either most of or all of Black Ops 3 a few months ago. Well, they're going back and giving you all of Call of Duty World War II, and they're giving you the full Spyro Reignited trilogy, the remaster of all three original Spyro games, and the Crash Bandicoot remastered trilogy, all three of the remastered Crash Bandicoot games. So that's seven games that they've already announced for next month, in addition to whatever they'll add when November rolls around.
In addition to the four indie games that you'll never play.
Exactly. Generally speaking, they've just got some fun little things you might boot up once and try out. But just for those games alone, for $12, I think I'm going to get it just because I think it'd be cool to have those games in my collection. I don't have a particular attachment to Spyro or Crash. I know my wife's part of some online art communities where they really like dragons, and so Spyro is very big in that community.
Oh, so interesting.
She was very excited to see Spyro on there, and then we talked about it, and I was like, you know, it's an old game. It's not like a very good game by today's standards. It's just these people are excited because it's Spyro.
Spyro is an old game, but not very good?
Well, so it's a great PlayStation 1 game, but
it's a great PlayStation 4 game. I have the Spyro collection on PS4, and it's heckin' fun.
Then I take it back. I only heckin' ever played
it's a Spyro great 2. Like item collector.
I played Spyro 2 on my PlayStation Portable back in the day, and wow. I thought it was all right. But I don't know if I would go back and play it again. But anyways, so I'm probably going to get that, and then I can play it. My wife can play it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not pausing this month. Let me put it that way.
There you go. So that's $140 worth for $12.
Yeah, no one plays full price for games anyways.
$140 MSRP.
There you go.
Yep.
Nice clarification.
That's the one.
There's our service to all you patient players. Go out there, see if you're interested in those games. Pick up the free Epic game if you're already on PlayStation Plus. Neither of us really use Xbox Live, so we don't pay attention to the free games on there, but maybe we should check those.
We don't. You're right. We probably should, because those you get to keep after your thing ends. So
isn't the same thing on Plus?
No, when your Plus expires, you lose all your Plus games.
Didn't they change that?
I don't think so.
Well, I did not know that, and I don't like that.
When you resubscribe, you get them all back.
Huh.
But they're only accessible when you're subscribed.
Well, it's a good thing that everything that comes out on PS Plus comes out on Humble the next month anyway.
Exactly.
Except for things like The Last of Us that are first party. So I will probably just play The Last of Us while I have that subscription then.
Nice.
Oh, man. Well, let's before we wrap up here, let's just check in on our email. Do you remember the email, Jordan?
For the what? What about it?
There's a plug for the email address, and you say that.
Oh, do I remember the email? I was like, I was sitting here like, yeah, of course I remember the email, Daniel. We talk about it all the time. Yeah, remember, guys, that's patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. Shoot us an email.
Patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com?
I said that it's patientplayerspodcast@pmail.com.
Oh, okay. I'll make sure to type that in to my.
I don't like the word p-mail.
Then don't say it.
All. Oh, it makes me really uncomfortable. Okay, so yeah, shoot us an email with criticisms, compliments, or cookies.
Yeah. I forgot to talk about the cookies next week.
I forgot to talk about the freaking cookies.
Okay, last week we talked a bunch about cookies, and I have more to say about cookies, but that will have to be for next week.
He has more to say on cookies.
It's the cookie teaser. Come back next week. I'll talk about cookies.
Although, in reference to last week, we mentioned the podcast listener who only listened to our podcast for the email section.
Oh, yeah, so, our theoretical podcast listener who skips straight to the email section.
This part is for you, which I found out actually exists. My friend Brian was kind enough to listen to the podcast, and he's like, yeah, I listened to it and just skipped the video games part and went to the email part at the end.
Which, if you remember, is the exact scenario I described last week as the equivalent of someone reading a porn magazine for the articles. Oh, that's so funny.
Listening welcome, to our video Brian. Game podcast.
Welcome to the section you care about, Brian.
You did it, Brian. You skipped to the end. I hope that he probably didn't listen to it because this episode was like heavily video games.
Yeah, there's a lot of video games going on.
There was. It's been a good week.
All right. Well, I've pulled up our patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com email inbox, and I'll let you know that our first email here comes from a return emailer of Marion, and I believe she is actually heeding the words that we asked last week.
She's heeding them?
She says she is heeding them.
Heating them up in the oven?
I am stopping what I'm doing right now to email you with a thumbs emoji.
Nice.
So if you're hearing this right now, be like Marion. Stop what you're doing right now.
Right.
Email us.
Now. I don't care if you're driving. I don't care if you're mowing the lawn.
I do care about the driving part. Don't do that.
No, but stop what you're doing, which means like pull over. Like stop driving.
Yeah. Safely.
Maybe not in the middle of the road. Okay. So you're right. Find a safe place to stop driving and then stop what you're doing. I don't care if you're driving, mowing the lawn, about to jump out of a... Not a parachute, an airplane. I almost said jump out of a parachute.
That's
jump out of an airplane or scuba diving. In fact, if you're listening to this podcast underwater, congrats, but also stop right now. So email us.
Email us. Here's what I want your email to say if you're underwater. Email us how you're listening to this podcast underwater right now.
And also what waterproof headphones you're using.
That might be the same answer. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. All right. Well, thank you for Marion for being the only listener, apparently. I was going to say the only listener to heed our message to email us, but then I realized she's probably just the only listener, period.
Okay. No, we have more emails. What are you talking about?
There are more emails. They just didn't stop what they were doing right then and emailing us.
Oh, okay. You're right. So she's the only loyal listener.
All right. So we have a new email from a new emailer. This one is from one Brian. And it says, you're just dumb and I'm telling you.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, my word.
Brian, thank you. Thank you for this. If we don't have constant reminders that we're dumb and you don't tell us this, then how would we know? How could we go through our days?
How would our britches would get too big for our britches containers, continents?
You know what you can't do when your britches are too big, Jordan?
What's that?
You can't do love.
You can't do love?
You can't do love, and we do love here.
And we do love here on the patient podcast players.
You'll get it next time. Don't worry about it.
At podcast.com.
All right.
Okay.
So our next email comes in from interesting nickname here. It's Casey, definitely not Jordan's email. It says, Jordan
Wait,
and Daniel.
What else is in the subject line?
The subject line here says, what is Gmail doing?
Why does the subject line say that?
Wait, what? I'm so confused.
Are we having technical difficulties on email hour?
I don't think there is a message. I think it's just a subject.
Wait, what?
It says, Casey, definitely not Jordan's email G.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. I didn't want to read out the last initial because I generally don't want to read people's first and last names on a podcast.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
All right. So it says Jordan and Daniel should do a review of some of the biggest spooky games from a few years ago, like Five Nights at Freddy's, Slender Man, PT, Why PT Failed, and Amnesia. Sincerely, with love, except from Sam, Casey.
Except from Sam?
Yeah.
It says from Sam?
Except for... Oh, wait. It does say except for Sam.
except for so with lots of love, except for Sam.
Oh, so Casey does not love Sam.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being used.
Okay, so let me be a little transparent here. So Casey messaged me this earlier in the week, and I was like, wow, this would have been great for the email section. So I'm emailed in her comment from my personal email account.
There are so many better ways you could have done this.
What are you talking about? So she didn't add in the last part with lots of love except for Sam, who is who she's getting married to.
Yes.
But that is her original comment, and I thought that was an interesting comment, and so I thought I'd pass that along
to email hour. The framing could use some work, but I like the question.
The framing?
Maybe you could have just said this was a comment we received from Casey and just told me that.
Well, that's a dumb way of doing it, and that's you're dumb true. For suggesting that.
You know what? You're just dumb. I'm telling you. Yeah. Okay, so this might sound crazy, but so the email suggests we talk about Five Nights at Freddy's, Slenderman, or PT. I spent probably what was literally an hour learning Five Nights at Freddy's lore this week.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just someone said something about
there's Five a lot Nights of lore, man.
And I knew there was a lot of lore, and I'd never played any of the games, and so I was like, what even is this lore of stuff about? I'm not going to play Five Nights at Freddy's. Let's look this up. And I was, you know, it's one of those series. You know there's like a million YouTube videos that's like the full lore in 30 minutes. So I looked up some of those videos, and I just started listening and watching these videos, and oh my gosh.
Some dark stuff.
Those games are super dark.
Kids getting stuffed into animatronics.
So I don't know how I heard this. It must have been like years ago when those games were coming out like crazy. And there was someone mentioning that the guy who makes those games was a professed Christian. And that there were a few like – again, I don't know if this is official. This is just what I heard secondhand. And that there were like some of the subtle undertones in the game had like savior concepts in them.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that's weird. And so having watched one of those, like, the full lore in 30 minutes, I have no clue what those people were talking about.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Because what the heck?
There's no savior in that game. There's just darkness.
It's just darkness and death, and then you also dying.
Yeah, that was weird. And apparently in one of the games you play as a character that you don't realize is, like, an animatronic yourself with an AI. It's weird.
Spooky.
Yeah, gets super weird. So those are my thoughts on Freddy's, is that I just learned about all that craziness like 4 or 5 days ago, and I'm all right with it. I think it's cool.
Nice. Well, Casey from Wichita, Kansas, thanks for sending in your advice. We'll think over it for at least a minute and get back to you next week.
Oh, you want to do more discussion next week?
Well, I mean, it's spoopy month.
It is spoopy month. Welcome to spoopy month.
Yeah, if we have like a spoopy hour. Which, I mean, not so much hour, but spoopy segment.
I wonder how spoopy our theme song would be if we just took the exact current theme song and just overlaid, like, those terrifying screechy string noises that are on all the horror themes in movies.
Ooh. I would love, like, a spooky rendition of it.
Most spooky music is in a minor key, though, so we would have to completely rewrite the entire song. And we didn't write the original song. Oh, man.
You have musical friends. Get on that.
Yeah, I'll call them up right now.
Great.
I'll be on that right now.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Spoopy theme. Oh, man. I don't think we reviewed anything we talked about, so I'll just mention real quickly for the deals and games that are out there, you can get free games from Epic for Surviving Mars. You can sign up for the Humble Monthly Bundle this month to get Call of Duty World War II. You can get the Spyro Collection and the Crash Collection as well. And also, if you're a PlayStation Network subscriber, you can go pick up Left... What the heck? Why am I
Last of Us.
On it? Last of Us. I was going to say Left Behind.
Left for Dead.
Left for Dead, Left Behind,
Left
Last for, of Us.
Left Behind starring Kirk Cameron on PS4.
You Pick can it up get today. Last of Us remastered on PS4 and MLB The Show 19. And meanwhile, if you don't want to pick up those new games, we've been playing some old GameCube classics on my end. That was Sonic Riders, Mario Superstar Baseball, Little King Story on Wii, Paper Mario Thousand Year Door.
I like this recap that you're doing.
Thanks.
Yeah, because I forgot everything we talked about also, so I'm also enjoying it right now as a listener.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the podcast. This is Patient Players. It's our 10th episode.
Hey, do you guys have an email or a Twitter?
Yeah, actually, in fact, we just started a Twitter over @patient_players on Twitter.
Nice.
And you can email us at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. Now, I'm going to go back to what I was doing before you started talking. Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine.
All right, cool. Thanks. We also finished playing the story mode on Borderlands 3 and are continuing to enjoy that and play it. I have started up Batman Arkham Knight, part of the Batman Arkham trilogy that they gave away on Epic a few weeks ago. You can pick up the free demo for XF Drive, a driving game. And on Jordan's side of things, you can set up a list of favorite games through the GOG Galaxy 2.0 beta launcher. You can play with your friends pretty soon on Steam Remote Play together. You can pick up Killer Queen Black. You can pick up an Oculus Rift S or wait for an Oculus Quest.
Pick up an Oculus Rift.
Yeah, just go out, be a patient player, buy a full price Oculus Rift S. That's the best way to save money.
Oof.
Is that it? Is that everything we talked about?
That was a lot of things. But
all right,
I guess so.
Awesome. Thank you guys. Thank you for joining us. Thanks. Weeks. Wow.
10 episodes. This has been a good 10th anniversary episode.
Yeah, we're past the 7-year itch. I don't want to cheat on Jordan with somebody else.
What? Is that why you had the itch in your notes?
No, that was the itch to play Mountain Blade.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we talked about Mountain Blade.
Oh yeah, Mountain Blade too.
All of our favorite games. We also talked a bunch about our favorite games.
Okay. Well, we'll see you lovelies next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
We love doing love.